The Gospel according to John. After Jesus said this, he looked up to heaven and said, Abba, the hour has come. Glorify your only begotten that I may glorify you through the authority you've given me over all humankind by bestowing eternal life on all those you gave me. And this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus the Messiah. I have given you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Now, Abba, glorify me with your own glory, the glory I had with you before the world began. I have embodied your name to those you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and now they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you've entrusted to me does indeed come from you. I entrusted to them the message you entrusted to me, and they received it. They know that I really came from you. They believe it was you who sent me. And it's for them that I pray, not for the world, but for these you've given me. Just as all that belongs to me is yours, and all that belongs to you is mine. It is in them that I have been glorified. I am in the world no more, but while I'm coming to you, they are still in the world. Abba, Holy God, protect those whom you have given me with your name, the name that you gave me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen in us. Hallelujah.
Please be seated. It hardly seems possible that it was just over a week ago, but I actually thought that my heart was broken. Not from love, not the way they lament in love songs. I thought my heart was literally broken. It began with nausea, then as a cold sweat set in, there was back pain, and a nagging fear that it was more than just a culmination of too much work. I was among friends, and it didn't take long for them to notice that I was broken. At first I told them it was nothing, but eventually the pain was so intense that I could not hide my own concern, which was quickly turning into fear. And under the close scrutiny of my dear friends, I recounted my symptoms and was quickly diagnosed by four pastors who were afraid that I just might be having a heart attack. As they expressed my worst fears, I began to feel much better. Not me, don't worry, I'm fine. Whatever it was, it's past. Yes, 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 I assured them that I would see my doctor as soon as possible. Okay, right away. Don't worry, it's nothing. Probably something I've eaten that just doesn't agree with me. And I could see from the fear in their eyes that they were worried. And I wondered if they were actually worried that it was my heart that was broken, or if they were afraid that maybe their hearts were too. They were too hard as well. Our meeting ended with reassurances and promises. We'd all take good care of ourselves. We'd slow down and we'd smell the roses because, you know, Pentecost is coming, and once we get to Pentecost, they'll all go to the cottage and it'll be just fine. It was a beautiful morning as I drove home from the city, my confidence only slightly shaken, and Leonard Cohen's voice was haunting me. Did I choose that playlist, or did some cosmic game of chance shuffle Cohen's anthem and somehow engage the repeat sequence so that from the depths of the Don Valley all the way home, Cohen's aged, leathery voice chanted the words of his anthem. The birds they sang at the break of day. Start again, I heard them say. Don't dwell on what has passed away or what is yet to be. Of the wars, they will be fought again. The holy dove, she will be caught again. bought and sold and bought again. The dove is never free. Ring the bells that can still ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. As I rounded the corner toward my own front door, I was overwhelmed with gratitude for my own heartbeat. I decided right then and there to rest my weary bones, lest the crack I feared might open up too wide and let far too much light in. Resting, stopping, conscious of my breath, in and out, and in just a few moments of rest, the pain returned, and with it the fear, the overpowering, all-consuming fear. Google confirmed the pastor's diagnosis. All my symptoms confirmed that I was indeed suffering from a heart that was breaking. A quick trip to the walk-in clinic and my blood pressure readings confirmed my worst fear, and in just a few moments, we, my love and I, we were hurrying to the hospital and an endless series of waiting rooms where young people, specialists who scurried about doing what they were trained to do as they uttered words I'd all too often heard from positions just like theirs. Only now I was the patient. I was the one who was afraid. Afraid my heart was broken. Ring the bells that can still ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. After what seemed like an eternity, phrases like dangerously high blood pressure, cardiac incident, and the possibility of an aneurysm breaking loose hung in the air as we awaited the results of a CAT scan. I thought my heart was broken. And everything that I had ever taken for granted hung in the air as I wondered exactly how big the crack in my life would turn out to be as I sat there fearing the effects of the light that was getting in. When the very young doctor arrived, he looked like he was 12. When he arrived to explain the results of the CAT scan, I remembering wondering when exactly I got so old that doctors and nurses all began to look like kids. But no matter, I could have kissed that boy. When he explained that the crack in my life was caused not by my heart breaking, but by a gallstone. Thank God, thank God, thank God. My threefold prayer leapt from every fiber of my being as I wearily rejoiced, promising myself and the cosmos that the lessons of this particular day would never be forgotten. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything that lets the light get in. We asked for signs. The signs were sent. The birth delayed. The marriage spent. Yeah, the widowhood of every government. Signs for all to see. I can't run no more with that lawless crowd, with the killers in high places. Say their prayers out loud, but they've summoned up a thundercloud, and they're going to hear from me. Ring the bells that still can sing. You can add up the parts, but you won't have the sum. You can strike up the march. There is no drum. Every heart, to love will come. But like a refugee, ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. That's how the light gets in. That's how the light gets in. Abba, the hour has come. Glorify your only begotten that I may glorify you through the authority you've given me over all humankind by bestowing eternal life on all those you gave to me. And this is eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus the Messiah. And this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God. For years, I have thought of eternal life as a quality of time, and I confused eternal with everlasting. It's only the past decade or so that I have understood the real meaning of eternal is limitless. Limitless, by definition, cannot be time-bound. Limitless has no beginning. No beginning and no end. Limitless is not a quality of time. So if eternal life is not about life everlasting, then what exactly might the gift of eternal life be? One of the qualities that I have come to understand is the limitlessness of grace, which comes to us as an integral part of life. The gift of breath, each and every breath itself, is pure, limitless grace. 13 billion years of evolution have resulted in the cosmos producing human life, and each and every breath we breathe is pure gift. We are living, breathing, walking, talking, loving miracles. The breath that flows through us, enlivens us, empowers us, is the spirit of all life that emanates from the one who is the source of all being. The eternal quality of our life, of all our lives, is knowing. Knowing. To know is to experience deeply. The ancients understood this as the essence of what it means to be human, to know. The storyteller we call John puts into the mouth of Jesus words that I'm only beginning to know, to experience deeply. Jesus said, and this is eternal life, to know the only true God. The words translated from the Greek as to know are the same words used in the scriptures to describe the intimacy of lovemaking. This is eternal life, to know, to make love to God, to make love with God. Eternal life is a quality of living that shares a deep intimacy with the one who is the source of our being. Is it any wonder that the flowers smell so sweet to me right now? The crack in my own mortality is letting in so very much light, and the intensity of living is immense as I explore and reflect upon the wonders of the divine, the all-encompassing numinous, the one we call God, the source and ground of all being. To approach intimacy with the one who is, was, and evermore shall be love, that is life eternal. Life without limits, light beyond light. Ring the bells that can still ring. You can add up the parts, but you won't have the sum. You can strike up the march. There is no drum. Every heart to love will come, but like a refugee. Ring the bells that still can sing. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. We thought we were broken. We had dared to crunch the numbers, and we knew that the challenge that lay before us was huge. But we heartily and happily took up the gauntlet. And we said we can do it if we only but try. And with the facts in hand, we merrily passed our budget and we made our plans. Your pledges came in. You exceeded expectations. You are a generous and gracious lot. But the symptoms of the brokenness of our life together caused us to fear the limits of our condition, would enforce limits upon our life together that would have painful consequences. We thought we were broken. Our hearts began to bleed as the reality of our financial condition caused dis-ease among us. As we tested and retested the numbers, we began to embrace the limits of what might be possible. We gathered here in this sanctuary as the news of the seriousness of our condition was delivered. Ring the bells that can still ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. I don't know about you, but when we left here last Sunday, I read the writing on the wall, and I knew that our life together would never be the same, and I was afraid that I was broken. I was afraid we were broken. And looking into the eyes of many of you, I know that we were broken, cracked. And through the crack of our brokenness, the light came in. Our financial recovery happened so quickly that our heads are still spinning. Grace is overflowing in the generous response of those among us who have stepped up to ensure that we have what we need to do what needs doing to set our financial house in order. Suddenly, the limits that once spelled dis-ease now appear to offer healing and health if we but pull ourselves together and work to achieve the goals that we lay before ourselves. But before we rush off out of this place of fear, fear for our life together, I hope that we can remember the intensity of this fear. That intensity pushed us beyond the limits that we perceived to be there. That intensity helped us to prioritize what it is that we want from our life together. And dare I say it, what we want has little to do with duration and everything to do with eternity. For if our life together is not eternal, not about knowing, truly knowing ourselves, one another, and the one who is the source of our being, then our life may be everlasting, but it will not be eternal. Let our life together embrace the quality of the eternal, eternal, limitless knowing, eternal, limitless openness, eternal, limitless possibility, eternal, limitless love. Let us not forget that being open to this kind of life together means that we are limitlessly vulnerable. This crack that has been revealed has let a whole lot of light in, and we know that we can be hurt. And we can see the contours of that pain in ways that we never imagined before. Let us always remember that limitless love is not some sort of blissful state of being in which we can float along as if we haven't a care in the world. Limitless love is exhausting, demanding, difficult, and dirty work sometimes. But limitless love is also the work in which we have found our calling. We thought we were broken. We have shared the fear that brokenness brings, and we know the limitless joy of healing. But healing does not mean that we can return to the place of unknowing, for the intimacy of knowing cannot be forgotten. So let us continue to care for one another, trusting that the one who lives and breathes in, with, through, and beyond us will continue to live in us and use us to be love in the world. Let our life together embrace the quality of the eternal, eternal, limitless knowing, knowing God. Eternal, limitless openness, knowing our neighbors. Eternal, limitless possibility, turning the world upside down with the teaching of Jesus. Eternal, limitless love. Let us be about knowing ourselves, one another, and the one who is the source and ground of all being. Let the art of knowing open us to the intimacy of love, love that is eternal life. In the name of the one who is, was, and evermore shall be, Creator, Christ, and Spirit One. Amen.